So Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. Now as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They'll condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised to life." Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. And Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. There's a trustworthy saying. Well, we had one of those last Sunday morning from the Apostle Paul. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. And then he goes on to say in verse 8, deacons likewise. So the deacons, you have set before yourself a noble task in what you seek to do. But let me read it from verse 8. "Deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate, trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and his household well. And those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus." You know, somebody has once said, some of us are like wheelbarrows, only useful when pushed and very easily upset. Wheelbarrows. But wheelbarrows do a lot of work, don't they? When they work properly, they work well. Someone else has said, the only place success comes before work is in the dictionary. We are dedicating our deacons, but I want us, as I say this evening, for us all to think about our service for the Lord, whether it has an official title with recognition or not. Now, as I say, I want to put those two readings that we've read together and start with the Matthew chapter 20 passage, where our reading reveals Jesus' understanding of the practice of the world, where he speaks about how the Gentiles lord it over one another. And that culture really has not changed. Different parts of the world do it slightly different, but in, you know, most countries it is pretty much the same. The corporate ladder, the power pyramid. Pick whatever you like, but it, you know, there's a top and there's a bottom, and there's a way up and there's a way down. And position gives you power, authority, control. And so those who haven't got it long for it, and those who have it are desperate to hold on to it, And there is this tension. There is this struggle. It's the culture. It was the culture of the Gentiles in Jesus' day. Well, every day is Jesus' day, but it's the culture still today. And if you need a reminder of it, just look at your politicians at the moment. It was said in the week that certain MPs could not speak with other MPs, those who have position, because it would look that they like a weakness. So they were getting all the juniors to speak with each other at a lower level, hoping to do some sort of deals and cut some ground there so that they, the spokesmen or spokeswomen, could make decisions and look like, you know, geniuses, but actually they wouldn't talk face to face because it would look like a sign of weakness. Well, that's how it is in 2019, and has always seemingly been that way. Watch your back. Make sure that you've got, you know, eyes on those who can bring you down. It's the culture. It's the practice of the world. We read from verse 17 because Jesus is preparing to go to Jerusalem to die, to lay down his life for you and for me. And that request, however well-meaning of a mother for her sons, really jars against what Jesus had come to do. Positions of honor she was seeking for her boys, for James and for John. Now, as I say, that's the context, a mother's request. Now, every mother, don't get me wrong, wants the best for her children, for them to get on, to achieve, to make something of their lives. And the mother of James and John was no different. And there is a sense in which, of course, she's seeing Jesus and his kingdom, and she's believing in him and his kingdom, and therefore wants the best for her boys in the kingdom. So there's great faith. But there is that jarring note. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. And she's wanting the best seats to the right and left of him in the kingdom. I think her request, well, you could argue it both ways, but shows some insensitivity, or certainly not an understanding. It's all right for us, I suppose, this side of Calvary. We look back and we see all that Jesus went through. But the other side of Calvary, there was much confusion. It wasn't clear how it was going to work out. But there seems to be a little insensitivity. Some ignorance as well, because Jesus says to her, it's the Father's choice. It's not because of who we are or what we have done. We don't climb up a corporate ladder spiritually. It is by the Father's grace reaching down through his Son to lift us up. And so Jesus himself says, you don't know what you're asking. These seats are not mine to give to you. It will be the Father's choosing. Some insensitivity and some ignorance. Well, hopefully, here this evening, we want to please the Lord with our service. But not for reward, but because of our relationship. Say that again. It's not about us doing what we do for some reward, to somehow be lifted and moved up a few steps on a corporate ladder. We want to do what we want to do for the Lord because of our relationship with him. Remember the Freedom in Christ course that we did, and the author of that, Neil Anderson, has a rather poignant quote when he says, we don't follow him, speaking of the Lord Jesus, in order to be loved. We are loved, so we follow him. We're not following him, oh, love me, please, love me. We are loved, and it's in response to his love that we love him. Our service comes out of relationship. And really, tonight, deacons to be, well, you're already deacons, so it's a bit awkward. Deacons in general, and all of us, we need to check that our service is coming out of a heart of love for the Lord. Oh, there will be love for the people, love for the task, but love first and foremost for the Lord. The Hebrew servant in the Old Testament in Exodus 21 had a choice after his years of service were complete. He could leave or he could stay by having his ear pierced by his master. Why would he stay? He's surely free. He's done his service. No. Because of the bond, because of the relationship with his master, because of the provision, the security that he knows with his master, that's the deciding factor. Because of that bond, that relationship. So to commit himself, to continue to serve, is what he chooses to do, or what he can choose to do in that situation. Don't know about you, but when you think about service and servants, perhaps you think of Downton Abbey, where the servants really, well, they were servants because they had to be, if you think about it. They were servants by necessity. It was their job. It was their work. It was the way that they kept literally a roof over their heads and food on the table. Obviously, in that scenario, in that situation, they longed to be upstairs, not downstairs, but better downstairs than with no stairs, as it were, out with nowhere to go. But the Christian life of service is not serving just in necessity. Oh, it's got to be done. Somebody's got to do it. But doing it with all our hearts. Serving out of relationships. Serving because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. For he first loved us. And because of what he's done for us. It is the rightful response. But more than that, it's what life is for us. To serve the Lord in this way. You know, Jesus said to his disciples that they were friends, not servants. For they knew the master's business. And there's a sense, as I say, of that Old Testament piercing of the ear with the disciples, in the sense that they were now privy to the kingdom, they were privy to a different way of life that Jesus was presenting to them. And it had changed and transformed their lives already. Obviously, when Pentecost came and the Spirit of God dwelt within them and empowered them, it took on a new dimension. But even at John 15:15 stage, before Jesus has even gone to the cross, there is that sense of this is so special, so unique, that we don't want to be away from Jesus in any way, shape or form. They were friends, not servants just doing their duty, but friends serving with devotion. They couldn't see, couldn't fully comprehend the purposes of their master, but they were trusting enough to say, well, where can we go? You've got the words of eternal life. Where can we go? I want to stay with you. I want to do things with you the way you do them. But back to the mother of James and John, back to the insensitivity and the ignorance, we can add to that some indignance as well. But I would like to have thought that the disciples were saying, come on, hang on, James and John. Come on, don't you know what Jesus is going to do and what he said? Have you not been listening? But actually, no, they were indignant because they didn't think of it first. We wanted to get on. Why them, not us? How dare you sort of cut your way into the front of the queue? Oh, our Saviour thinking of laying down his life for us and everybody else around thinking of themselves. And that's our world, thinking of themselves, and our Saviour still reaching out, wanting them to come to him. But if you are a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ and you have responded to his invitation to come to him, then we come to serve. We come in that relationship. And the passage goes on not just to speak about the world and the practice of the world, but the paradox of the kingdom. And a reminder here that we are counter-culture. We will not fit in with this world and the way it's going. We can show them a different way, a better way, Jesus' way. For Jesus said, the greatest is the servant of all. And to be first is to be the slave, to be last. And on other occasions he would highlight characters like John the Baptist and say, he was the greatest. But look at him. He didn't fit in, did he? He didn't fit in. He was out there in the wilderness. People going out looking almost like a freak show. He's so different, so strange. But he was fulfilling the work of the kingdom, serving. Not serving himself, but serving and making way, preparing the way for our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, our evening has a context to it, deacon's dedication. Question, how do you become a great deacon? There you go, discuss. How do you become a great deacon? Well, as I've been trying to say, let me just put it up front again. You keep and develop your relationship with your Lord and Master Jesus Christ. That is priority. That is priority, deacons. That must be and has to be the way forward. You seek to please your master, not man. Your master. To do things the way Jesus would have them done. Not the popular culture of the day. And of course, in pleasing him, you will be effective in your service. You will make a difference as you develop and keep that relationship with Jesus. There's a lot more to it, and we'll come back to what it says in a moment in 1 Timothy about some of the ups and downs, the positives and the negatives. But just for a moment, just at the end of Matthew chapter 20, Jesus moves from that strange paradox about first being last, greatest being least. Turn the whole world on its head. Turn your ladder, in fact, get rid of your ladder. Turn your pyramid upside down the other way. Just everything is so different. Not just in Jesus' mind, but in Jesus' life and practice. And it goes on in the chapter to speak of the perfect example of our Saviour. You know the verse well. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Think about Christ's service for a moment. Think of Philippians 2, where Paul sums it up in that little poem. Well, not poem, but, you know, that outline. He had no reputation. He didn't grasp. He gave. He humbled himself. Obedience to death, even death on the cross. He suffered to serve, as we just read. He gave his life as a ransom. He paid the price for your sin and my sin. For the sin of the world. That's a big price. And he paid the price in full. Yes, there are those who don't realize he's paid the price. But for all of us who have realized how precious a Savior. Yet John chapter 1 verse 10 tells me that he was, you know, though he'd made the whole world even, they didn't recognize him. And he didn't stand there stamping his feet, saying, look, I'm here, don't you know? Look at me, look at me, look at me. He didn't shout on street corners. But he spoke the truth, yes, with power and authority. But he humbly served. Did it the Father's way. All the way to Calvary. Perfect obedience. That sacrifice, that suffering servant. Who laid down his life for us all. our service as deacons, for those who are deacons, and indeed for non-deacons, needs to be marked by self-denial. Empty of self, so we can be filled with the Spirit of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we would be humble, we would be obedient to Him, even willing to suffer if that's what's involved. Reputation, that's not important. Fulfilling God's will, God's plans, that's what's important. Not grasping things for ourselves, but letting go. He gave His life a ransom. Now, in that passage that I read, Paul's writing to Timothy, there are a number of problems servants can have. And Paul helpfully flags these up. He's hoping to get to Timothy and to speak with the new deacons, but his letter goes ahead of him. And as you read through that, and we've read it, and I trust the deacons are aware of it, first thing to say, of course, is that no servant, apart from our suffering servant, is perfect. But these verses do help with a bit of a health check for us. They cause us to look at character and any potential defect. It speaks of honesty. Sharing, saying it as it is, or as we see it at least. Sometimes we say it and we've misunderstood. But to be honest, to be open, that's a quality that's an important part of serving. Sharing together, being honest, being sincere. Not a mask, no pretense, but an open frankness. Nothing to be afraid of, but the character to do that. And to show some self-control as well. Now again, these are not qualities particularly you find outside of the church in the world. Honesty and sincerity and self-control. People don't like to admit they've made mistakes. I was sharing with Valerie in the week. I got a phone call during the week telling me my minibus was ready to be picked up. Well, that was news to me. I don't have a minibus. So they left a message, so I just ignored it. Thought, oh, they rang the wrong number. They rang again. Quite irate. Your minibus is ready to be picked up. Can you come and pick it up? I said, lady, I don't have a minibus. I think you've got the wrong number. I was expecting her to start backtracking and saying, oh, I'm terribly sorry, we've made a... Not a bit of it. They've given me the wrong number. It wasn't her fault. And not even a sorry, not even a by your leave. Nobody puts their hand on the heart seemingly anymore and says, oh, we've made a mess of this. I mean, I wouldn't have taken it any further anyway. But just an example. To be sincere, to see things through, and to have that self-control as well, not to lose the plot, but to humbly serve, to put the Lord and what He wants first. It speaks about personal relationships, problems can develop there as well. It speaks of family. Now again, if you've got a perfect family and everybody does everything just right, and well, perhaps you ought to write about it. Many have tried. But yes, there are principles, of course. It says, got to keep things right at home. How can you serve God's family? And rightfully so, but in that relationship, again, we all need grace. We all need the Lord's help. The fact that somebody who wants to serve recognises, yes, there are difficulties with the family, is actually a good sign. Better that than to say, oh yeah, everything's perfect.
Don't move. Stand there. Everything's perfect. No. Best would be to, again, to be honest and to be sincere. Problems can arise from the heart attitude. There's a warning against pride. Got a position, you know, position in the church. But no, humble ourselves before the Lord. Spend time saying, Lord, I'm trusting you in this. I'm not fit for this, but you can make, and you do make the difference. No place for self-dependence, but a reliance upon the Lord. And of course, it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual work, deacons, that we're involved in. And we need to be aware of that. Paul speaks of the devil's traps. He speaks of the love of money. He speaks of the influence of alcohol. We would add other addictions today. Within that family, the marital harmony as well. There's all sorts of different areas how we need, as we seek to serve, to be prayerful. How we need to be prayerful one for another. And that's why it's important we dedicate our deacons tonight. But if they're the negatives, and there are more, much more could be said, what of the positives? There is standing as we serve. Now, this standing comes by kneeling in prayer, or at least walking in faith. But a standing when we have look to the Lord. He brings us through. And that's the wonder, because there is also this assurance of faith as we hold to the truths, as we know the Lord more. And one of the really wonderful things about serving the Lord in a public office is you get to know the Lord better, because you get desperate, you get dependent upon the Lord like never before. And so it brings out your faith with the challenges that it presents. The more we know the Lord, the more we love Him. And the more we love Him, the more we want to serve Him. And then the more problems we face, and then the more we have to know the Lord. And then we go on in that circle, knowing Him, loving Him, serving Him, knowing Him, loving Him, serving Him. And hopefully the circle gets bigger as we go along, with a greater assurance of faith. Looking back, the Lord has not let us down. The Lord has not disappointed. The Lord has not failed. We may have failed Him numerously, but He's not failed us. And so to continue to serve, longevity, I guess, is a sign of being a great deacon. Think of dear Stanley Haskew. Great, great deacon, great deacon. Not perfect, but a great deacon. But a man there who developed a prayer life, no doubt out of his serving as a deacon over the years as well. Now for our new deacons this evening, and for our for Roland being re-elected, it is too late. To change your minds. The church meeting has spoken, we have prayed, and the Lord has led us to this decision. You desire a noble task. It's not an easy task. I guess you knew that anyway, and hopefully this evening I've spelt that out a little bit more for you. But you have and will know, as you seek the Lord, the grace of God to fulfill the task. And that's the wonder of it, isn't it? That's the wonder of serving Him. But let me just conclude by just opening out a couple of questions for us all, deacons, non-deacons. Just simply ask the question tonight, how is your relationship with the Lord? How is it? And do you see how it impacts upon your service? Are you seeking to serve more, or just frustrated and seeking to serve less? From our hearts, we serve. Not in a dry, dusty, dutiful way, but in a flowing, loving relationship with His Spirit. So before we have our communion service, we're going to pray, and we're going to ask that God will pour out his Spirit upon our new deacons, upon all our deacons for the coming year as they seek to serve. For all of us, how do you answer the question about your commitment to the Lord? If you are committed to him and to his cause, is there anything you wouldn't do in his service? How far have you been on this path, on this road of service? How far is there still to go? Would you go further? Knowing his love, knowing his power, knowing his grace, there's more to be done, of course, so much more to be done. Are you happy to go and, in Jesus' name, being his servant, a servant of the Lord, a servant of the King? Amen.